In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. This is Father Tom, and we do this broadcast live. I just hope it's going to hold this blue box and this telephone. In the last 2 days, it's been breaking up, and it's just very, very frustrating. Holy Spirit, come upon us today. Come upon us with the great glory of God, that we would glorify Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Holy Spirit, you promised through Jesus Christ, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. O God, you have given us that power. Help us to use that power for God's people, for the people who do not know Jesus. Help us to use that power. I want to say that in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, just the other day, Anthony called me up and he said there was a man who was in an accident and his leg was stiff. And he called the people around, come and watch a miracle. So he prayed and prayed and prayed. The man could move his foot, but it wasn't completely healed. But he could move his foot. That was not something that he could have done before the prayer. So God knows how to do everything. We just need to trust him. If you've just given your life to Jesus, what you need to do is to trust him. If you've given your life to Jesus 50 years ago, you need to trust him. To trust him. No matter where you are, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Rely not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. I'm reading from the 5th chapter of Mark, the 21st verse. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat, he went from the Gentile side to the Jewish side, to the other side. A great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. They were pushing him. They were pushing him. Another scripture says they didn't even have ability to eat. They were so mauled by the crowd. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her." Jairus has faith. He has seen what Jesus has done to people, how he multiplied food, how he heard about the calming of the storm. Now he knows that the only way that his daughter is going to get better is if Jesus intervenes. I tell you, the only way you're going to get better and your family is if Jesus intervenes. Me too. Oh yes, we need the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in our homes, and in our families. That's what needs to be happening. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him. Oh yes, they want to touch Jesus, and pressed in on him. But there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. That's woman's trouble. They were not allowed in the community when they had that bleeding taking place. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus. Oh, the church needs to tell people about Jesus, needs to tell people about his power, need to tell people about his love. Oh, yes, we need to tell people about Jesus. That's the only way they're going to hear. I tell you, That's what it's all about, telling people about Jesus. That's what I'm doing today, planting the seeds, telling people about Jesus, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord. He is the King of glory. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." She's got faith. She's got faith. There are many people that mauled Jesus. They weren't healed. They didn't have faith. She had faith, and her faith healed her as she touched the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, there's that word again, her hemorrhages stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, there it is again, aware that power had come forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Well, the disciples are going to say, "This is crazy. There's so many people here. Who touched my clothes?" But there was only one person who touched his clothes with faith. It was the woman with the issue of blood. And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling. She doesn't need to be afraid of Jesus, but she is. She fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." I tell you, what about faith in the church? It's all about faith. That's why we preach tithing. It's all about faith. It's about faith being healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, faith being delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, today, tomorrow, and forever. And that happens by preaching the gospel. If we preach the gospel, faith is restored or begins to root in somebody's heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How we need to preach Jesus, how we need to tell people about Jesus, how we need to pray. Oh, yes. Did you pray today? Did you pray today? You said, "Well, I pray in the car." That's not good enough. Did you pray today? It's all about Jesus healing people. While he was still speaking, someone came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Do not fear, only believe. I tell you, the opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of fear is faith. Do not fear. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not fear. What is needed is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader in the synagogue, he saw a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. Why? Because the little girl had died. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. I can tell you, their mourning wasn't very deep. They go from wailing to laughing. But I tell you, Jesus has control over death and life. Jesus has control over people in the coma, that he can wake them up. How many times I've prayed for people in the coma, and they were waking up. Jesus did it. In all Jesus, it's all about Jesus. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means little girl, get up. And immediately, there's that word again, the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years old. At this, they were overwhelmed and overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Why is he saying no one should be told this? Because the great miracle in Mark is the cross of Jesus Christ, where he bore our wounds and carried our infirmities and took our sins. Oh, yes, this is called the messianic secret. Don't tell anybody, but everybody's going to find out. Everyone's going to find out. There's a crowd. There's a mother and father. They're going to say, you know, my daughter was dead and has come back to life. Only Jesus can do that, I tell you. Only Jesus can do that. Chapter 6 of Mark, verse 1. He left that place and came to his own hometown, that's Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? Are not all his sisters here with us? And they took offense at Jesus. They took offense at Jesus. I tell you, when the water and the storm was raging, they took Jesus in as he was. Now they're taking offense at Jesus. These people in his own native town taking offense. Oh, we know this man. He built our cabinets. We know this man. He's the son of Mary and Joseph. We know this man. They knew nothing of Jesus. They knew nothing of the power that Jesus had. They knew nothing of the power that Jesus had. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. This is true. This is true. It holds today. Oh, yes. Why do I want to listen to Father Tom? Well, I'm telling you, I preached Jesus. I preached his ministry, his taking upon himself our sins. I preach Jesus, who was buried and who rose from the dead. I preach Jesus. Oh, we'd be much better off in the church if everyone who preaches would preach Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Because one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day soon, when he comes again, everyone will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. Why? They didn't have any faith. They knew him oh so well. They didn't know him at all. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? I mean no. No means Adam knew Eve, and in 9 months they gave it a name. Do you know Jesus? Have you got that intimate experience with Jesus called being born again or second conversion? Do you know Jesus? You might say, I don't. Well, if you want to know him, you just tell him, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to be with you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my body. I give you everything. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know you the way the disciples knew you. I want to know you, Jesus, because you are the Lord. And I need to know you, Jesus. And without you, I have nothing. Without you, I have nothing. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Yeah, we know this, Jesus. He hung our doors. You know, we know him. They knew not Jesus. And there are many people in the churches that do not know Jesus. There are many people. That's why it's got to be preached. You say, in the world, they definitely don't know him. But in the churches, people need to come to know Jesus as the Lord, as the Savior, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I tell you, this is so important. He was amazed at their unbelief. What about us? What about the church? You know, does the church have unbelief? I said we were all studied in the school of unbelief. All of us, starting with me. And faith is what breaks the unbelief. You need faith. The faith of the woman who touched Jesus. The faith of the father who brought Jesus to his home and raised the little girl from the dead. We need faith. We need faith. And then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He's calling them to do what he does. Oh, yes. He's given the church that same authority. But if we don't use it, we lose it. We have been given the authority of Jesus to cast out demons and to heal the sick. We have been given that authority and to preach the gospel with all of our hearts. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey. Why? They had to trust in Jesus. Except a staff, no bread, no food, no bag, no money, and their belts. They would have their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. Jesus really means what he's saying. If they don't accept you and they don't allow you to preach and they don't believe, you just go to the next town, shake the dust off your feet as a reproach against them. I told you I've done that before. When I was in St. Louis, a man called me up and said, I'm looking for names and I'm taking you off the roster. You won't be preaching on the station anymore. I said, sir, you're planting stones and stones don't grow. I said, someone called me the other day from St. Louis in the middle of the night because they knew they could talk to me. And I tell you, you're responsible for all these little people. But I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do. I'm going to shake the dust off my feet and go someplace else. And I did. And we went back to St. Louis, and we got just as much done, if not more, in this new station. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Cured them. Yes, this is the root. I pray when I pray for healing that God would heal the root of the sickness, the root of the problem, the root of the sickness. Verse 14, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. And when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Poor Herod, he's crazy. He's a crazy man. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, put in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It is not lawful. Repent." They put him in jail, and he's screaming, "Repent." Herod's wife hated John the Baptist, just like some people hate Trump. There's no problem in caring for people. We're asked to pray for Trump because he's the president, not to hate him. To hate him is of evil. It's of evil to hate him. If you want to hate anybody, you want to hate the devil, nobody else, because even Planned Parenthood shouldn't be hated, but the devil and the demons that cause Planned Parenthood to take the lives of children. And Herodias had a grudge against him, against John the Baptist, and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was righteous and the holy man, and he protected him when he heard him. He was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. He liked to get his ears tickled because he's not repenting. Oh, yes, people might want to hear certain speakers, but you know what? They need to repent and give their life to Jesus. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and the leaders of Galilee. Then his daughter Herodias came in and danced. She pleased Herod. I tell you, it was a dirty dance. It was not a clean dance. She pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" The mother said, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. He had no guts. He had no guts. He cared more about what people think than what was right. Are you like that? Am I like that? We care more about what people think than about what God thinks. Oh, yes, many people will not preach Jesus because they said, "What will the people think about me?" You know what? We were ordained to proclaim Christ in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Immediately the king sent a soldier, there's that word again, of the guard, in order to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. I tell you, we, with our mouths we do good and we do evil. This was an evil act. This was an evil act. And Herod didn't have the guts to say, "Not that, not that, not that. He's a prophet, not that." The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What have we learned today? That Jesus has the power over life and death. That he raised the little girl from death to life. I tell you, Jesus is the power. He is the Father's only begotten Son. And I praise him for it. What else have we learned? That he sent out his disciples two by two to heal the sick and to cast out demons. The church has been given that power. Whether we use it or not is another issue, but we have that power. So I say to you, bless you, bless you, bless you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.